Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome everyone to Juz number 17, Moments with the Quran, with Mufti Abdul Rahman and myself, Abdullah Wahid. I hope you guys are all doing well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your fast, your du'as, your prayers, your supplications. How is everyone doing? We know that three people's du'as are never rejected. One person is a traveler. ثلاثة دعوات لا ترد. Three people's du'as are not rejected. And then there's another narration that adds number four. One of them is a traveler. مسافر حتى يرجع. One is a مظلوم, an oppressed person. Their du'as are accepted. One is a والد ولدي, a father for their child, a parents for their children. And then a صائم حتى يفطر, and a fasting person until they break their fast. We should take advantage of the moments that we have in the month of Ramadan. So many things to ask Allah for, so many needs that we have. And the biggest need we have is Allahumma innaka afu, tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anna, asking Allah's forgiveness and mercy. So welcome everyone joining from Michigan, from out of state, from United States of America, from Canada, from Quebec. Comment ça va? Ça va bien? I hope you guys are doing well. People are joining us from Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, Middle East, from the Caribbean. We have some other people joining us from Puerto Rico, South America, all across the world. We want to welcome you. We have people joining us from also Saudi Arabia. And it's amazing that you guys have taken out the time to join us. A lot of our viewers are from United Kingdom, from the Queen's backyard. So we want to welcome you, and God guide the Queen. And so welcome everyone, welcome. Tonight, as we get ready for Taraweeh, myself and Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, you here?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah, how are you doing, Mujan?
Great to see you, mashallah. You're back in your spot, you're back in your zone, you're back in your pocket, you're back in your shoes, those Air Jesus, whatever you want to call them.
Air Jordans.
How are you doing, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah, Mujan. How are you doing, Mujan?
Alhamdulillah. I mean, I'm so glad you're back there because, you know, at least you have service and the camera quality is better. The ambiance, the lighting, the, you know, the whole the euphoric experience is just much different.
I'm here just because of you. I changed all my travel plans just so I can be here, so you can see me and be happy. That's it. You don't want to see me on the phone and bad lighting. You don't like to see your younger brother like that. I know that.
I mean, it took a long time, like 7 days for you to understand. Samajh nahi aati. Khopri mein baat nahi jaati, khopri mein.
How you doing, Mujan? You good?
Alhamdulillah, what's going on?
Alhamdulillah, man. Alhamdulillah. Today,
did you eat something?
Honestly, I drank some water.
So you didn't eat dinner?
No.
Did you break your fast? Did you open your fast?
Yeah, I broke my alhamdulillah. Did iftar. No. Pray Maghrib and came here.
The hujur, you need to make sure he have a kujur.
Okay, I got a kujur. Don't worry about that.
All right, let's go.
But John, listen. I think we were planning to change. Just let everyone know that by Friday night, that we will start 9:15 because iftar is going ahead, and over here in Eastern Standard Time. So instead of 9, we'll start 9:15. And so Tarawih is going to be getting pushed back as well. So today is Wednesday. So tomorrow, Thursday, we'll remind you again tomorrow. But on Friday, everyone should put that in the calendar. Is that okay with everybody? 9:15, inshallah. Let's hear it from you guys. If 9:15 should be fine for all of it, it's going to be better for us as well. If not, we can stick to 9 o'clock, Bajan. No problem.
Mia, Bibi, Razi, Kakare, Kazi.
Tabas, you're on a roll today, Bajan. So someone's saying it's near suhoor time in the UK. So, khair, inshallah. Inshallah, I appreciate everyone tuning in from everywhere. But then, let's start. Bismillah.
Bismillah. 17 Juz, Mufti Saab. I mean, the 15, 16 Juz had so much to discuss. And when we get to this middle part of the Quran, after Surah Nahl, and we from that part, Isra, Kahf, Maryam, Taha, Anbiya, that whole middle portion of the Quran is all prophets and stories of prophets. And lessons are understood in the lens of a story. If I speak to my kids about a lesson, they might listen for 60 seconds. But if I tell them a story, they might listen for 6 minutes. And in that story, there's so many lessons. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so many points to give, so many messages to share, you know, lessons to make us learn in the end. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in stories. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. So that's what made it special.
Absolutely, Bajan, absolutely. And you see that these surahs, Banu Israel, Surah Isra, Surah Kahf, Surah Maryam, Surah Taha, and Surah Anbiya. Even Abdullah bin Mas'ud says, "Hunna min al-itaq al-awwal wa hunna min tiladi." These are my early surahs that I love, and they're from my early treasures. Like every time.
Who said that?
Abdullah bin Mas'ud.
MashaAllah.
You know, "Hunna min al-itaq al-awwali wa hunna min tiladi." These are like you know, these are surahs that anytime I need to get reminded of akhirah, feel better, feel comforted, these surahs, and they're all in succession, right? Surah Isra, Surah Kahf, Surah Maryam, Surah Taha, and then you have Surah Anbiya, subhanallah, right? And if you see that in Surah Taha and Surah Anbiya have so many similarities, Bajan. Like I was reading Surah Taha and Surah Anbiya, and I was thinking, man, subhanallah, like Allah, there's such the synergy and the connection of the Quran is so beautiful. Like if people were just to understand the way it works, Surah Taha has three like sections, right? The first section you have is Allah is comforting the Prophet ﷺ. Allah is comforting him. And then the middle is a story of Musa facing, you know, this challenge of Fir'aun. So Allah is telling him that there's people before you that came and they faced many challenges. And through that story, Allah is comforting him. And the end, Allah then talks about the consequences of those who don't follow what happens to them. Surah Anbiya is pretty much the same sequence. You have the first part of the surah is comforting the Prophet ﷺ. And Allah is talking about people like the second part is comforting the Prophet ﷺ, but not with the story of Musa, but mention of 16 different prophets.
Wow, 16. Starting with Ibrahim.
Yeah, 16 starting with Ibrahim alayhi salam. And you know, and starts all the way till to the end of the surah. And at the end of the surah, Allah then again talks about وَاخْتَرَبَ الْوَعْدُ الْحَقُّ فَإِذَا يَشَاخِصْنَ أَبْصَارُ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا. You know, it talks about the plight and the end result of those who disobeyed and did not believe. So you have that connection. At the end of Surah Taha, right?
And also one of my favorite ayahs in the Quran right here. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That's there.
It's of course.
I mean, we can spend the entire night just talking about that ayah.
Exactly. Then you have Surah Taha. It ends with وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةٌ سَبَقَتْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَكَانَ لِزَامًا وَأَجْلٌ مُسَمَّى. If it wasn't for something that Allah has already decreed, then their verdict of conviction would have been, they would have been convicted already, but these people are on borrowed time. Like they have some more time, but they're on borrowed time.
Wow.
So Allah's talking about them being, they have a little bit more time. But then the next surah starts, اِخْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِدُونَ. How long is that borrowed time? Their time has come very near, but they're
Wow. كُلُّ مُتَرَبِّسٌ فَتَرَبَّسُوا.
Yeah.
And that's the ending of Surah Taha. And in the beginning, which means tell them everyone is waiting, just wait. You know, sab intezar kare, tum bhi intezar karo, right?
Yeah.
And then right away, اقترب للناس حسابهم. It's close.
Right away, it's so close. And the third similarity I found was, it's interesting. At the end of Surah Taha, Allah talks about the one who goes against the remembrance of Allah, what happens to them in this life and in the hereafter. So Allah says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. The one who goes away from the deen of Allah, the one who goes away from the commands and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, like lives a different lifestyle. Yeah. So Allah tells him in those verses that the consequences of living a lifestyle which is in according to your desires and leaving the lifestyle which is in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the consequences of that is not something you will feel in akhirah, but you will also feel in dunya. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. You will start to feel that in this life. You will start having a very tight, constricted life. That comes at the end of Surah Taha. But you know what happens in Surah Anbiya? At the end of Surah Anbiya, the verse comes, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذِكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ.
Move this up. I want you to talk about that. For some reason, my heart wants you to talk about that.
I will. I talked about the yaqeen today too, but yeah, then I will talk about that. But like in the Surah Anbiya, at the end, Allah says the opposite of that. And indeed, we have established in the previous scriptures that this land and dunya, Allah will inherit to those servants of mine that are pious. So Allah talks about the consequences of piety being felt in dunya.
Wow.
And the consequences of leaving Allah being felt in dunya and Surah Taha. So that's how you feel the connection of these two surahs. It's so powerful, Bajan. And inshallah, we'll speak about that last verse. But
you did mention that 16 prophets were mentioned in succession. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about Maryam alayhi salam and her son Isa, right?
Yeah.
Where Allah says, وَالَّتِي أَحْسَنَ فَرَجَهَا فَنَفَقْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ رُوحِنَا وَجَعَلْنَاهَا وَبْنَهَا إِتْلِ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So it's like an order, and then وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةَ الْعَالَمِينَ, and the mention of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the concluding verses. So this is definitely kalamullah. This is divine words of Allah that's put its, like you said, synergized and sequenced, chronologically organized. Only God can do this.
Only Allah can do this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this, in the beginning, He says, اِخْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. The translation is, and in the time of the accountability for human beings has drawn near, and still they are in complete negligence and ignoring. And so, hisab over here doesn't mean the day of judgment. Every single person's own day of judgment is drawing near. Like it's, let me open the book over here. Yeah, exactly, right here, it's Quran. So you have your own, you know, you have the day of judgment is, it could be like 100,000 years from now. But every single person's day of reckoning is drawing closer and closer to that person. But what's interesting about this verse is, I actually give a khutbah about ghafla. The khutbah, the Jumu'ah before our brother Sheikh Abdul Rahim Allah passed away. That Friday, my topic was this. اِقْتَرَبَ النَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ هُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. This idea of just being so negligent. You know, the biggest fool is the one who knows something is coming, and the only way he or she prepares for that inevitable thing that's coming is they just keep ignoring it and keep taking it out of their mind. Like, you know the exam is coming on May 9th. You know it's inevitable. It's going to happen. And you keep ignoring it, keep procrastinating. And that's the way you're preparing for it, right? That's a fool. And a smart person is the one that when that inevitable thing that's coming, they start preparing for it somehow, some way, and they plan for it. And they keep planning for it. So over here you have, I was speaking about this verse on that khutbah, Bajan. And I mentioned that one way of removing ghafla. Ghafla means to be heedless, to be negligent. So things are happening all around us, but we find a way to block the noise. You know, people are dying all around us. Youngsters are passing away. Elders are passing away. But still, somehow, some way, that's not affecting us and it's not altering our life. It's not. We still are doing the same thing. Like, okay, we go to janazah, come back. All this is happening around us. And why does that happen? So I was saying, the way to remove ghafla, one of my proposals was, the way to remove ghafla is that we should visit the graveyard. Bajan, check this
Allah
out.
Says in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran.
Allah says in the Quran, yeah.
Al-hakum al-takathur.
There you go. So to remove ghafla is that. And Allah, I mean, He speaks about ghafla in many places in the Quran, you know, where He says, like, even, but you know that famous verse in Surah Qaf, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. Like you were like when you فخف الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا. You were negligent about this day. I mean, you knew about it's gonna happen, right? And why didn't you prepare for that, right? And then so that's one. Allah in another place he tells us like, hey, ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا. Do not follow the one whose heart has become negligent and heedless from our remembrance. Don't follow him. That's not a good path to go on. It's not. It's a bad path. So when I was talking about this, I mentioned one of the proposals was we should go to the graveyard and we should visit it often. And while I was speaking about it, I didn't even know how I was going to practically do it. We always go for janazas, but to make that part of your schedule, I didn't know how that was going to happen. The first person to meet me in the hallway after this khutbah was my brother, Sheikh Abdul Rahim Al-Talaleh. He hugged me, and I remember in that khutbah, I mentioned his name as Sheikh Abdul Rahim. Like, first time, I don't think in his life, he heard me calling him Sheikh, because we always call him our young Abdul Rahim, younger brother, you know? And so I called him Sheikh Abdul Rahim, said this last week in his khutbah. Now, his khutbah was about time. So I just, you know, that was the foundation of my next week khutbah. So I mentioned a quote of his last week. So the first thing he said to me, he said, Bajan, man, I didn't really say that, man. You made it sound much better than what I said. And I said, no, that's okay, man. That's what you said, you know? Yeah. And he was like, oh, he was like all flattered that I said his name and I mentioned his name. And then he said, you know, what do you think about, like, that was a good point you mentioned about going to the graveyard. Like, how do you think we should take the students? And which I said, we should plan it. We should plan something where students go often to the cemetery, to the graveyard, and visit the grave. And we were just having a casual conversation about this. And little did he or I, any of us know that Allah had his own plan, that the first, you know, person that we would go to visit often without even making a schedule or anything was my brother, who passed away 2-3 days after that day. You know, subhanAllah, Allah made it happen himself. And ever since that day, all of us, his friends, his brothers, we've been going over and over again. So every time I hear this verse or read this verse, I think of my brother, because that's the last verse he heard me reciting, you know. And of course, going to the cemetery, it affects, it helps you, it brings you back to real life. And that's what this ayah is about. It brings you back to real life. Like,
reality check.
What it is a reality check, but a big time reality check. And so, I mean, Umar ibn Khattab says very nicely, he says, زنوا أنفسكم قبل أن تزنوا وحاسبوها قبل أن تحاسبوا فإنه أهون عليكم في الحساب غدا أن تحاسبوا أنفسكم. He says that it is, you know, why don't you weigh your good deeds now before your deeds are weighed? Take your accountability now before your accountability will be taken by Allah in front of everybody, because it will be easier for you to take accountability in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment if you continuously account yourself in this world over and over and over again. SubhanAllah, isn't that unbelievable? Like, just how many people actually do that? Like, Umar ibn Khattab used to always say to himself, "Bakhin, bakhin, wallahi, bunayya al-Khattab, la tattaqina Allah, aw la yu'adhibannaka." Like, he would be all in the room alone, you know, and someone would hear him saying, like, "Oh, Umar, you better get better. You better get better."
Wow. Right? He would talk to himself.
He would just talk to himself. But then, SubhanAllah, like, you know, people in the past, they were so, like, even if they would, like, one person, I was reading in the book, like, one person would ask a person that he was walking by a house, he asked them, when did you build this house? And right away, he backtracked and he said, I'm so sorry, that's not even a question I should ask, because I'm not even sure, like, if that's not a useful question. And I don't want to take account of this useless question on the Day of Judgment. So he backtracked, asked for forgiveness, and he did nothing to fast for 1 year. To ask forgiveness for Allah for just saying that. How many times we say useless things, right? We don't even realize.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, like, that's the idea of hisab over here. Check our, you know, Sheikh Suhamullah says this, check yourself before you get checked, right? Like, check yourself now before Allah checks us on the Day of Judgment. And that's why, you know, my one great tabi'i, you know, again, all these things come to my mind because I gave a khutbah about just that same day, you know, when my brother came to me. لا يكون الرجل تقيا حتى يكون النفس أشد محاسبة من الشريك لشريكه. That a person can never be righteous until he is more hard upon himself in terms of accountability than a partner is with a partner. This is like,
wow.
We have to get to that level. That's what this verse is talking about, that our time is coming near. So start checking every day, every night before sleeping. Just do your own accountability. See if you did more good deeds today or more bad deeds. If you did more good deeds, say alhamdulillah. If you did more bad deeds, do istighfar and make intention and azam that you'll do better next time. So this surah starts with that, Bajan.
That's on the hisab discussion. I just want people to... beautiful story I came across a bit before Ramadan was about Abu Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullah alayhi. Because you brought it up, it's, you know, I just want to share it with you. And I got a little bit of information. So whatever little I have, I want to sprinkle it over your big cake. You know, is that Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullah alayh, he was on his deathbed. And Hamad bin Salama, rahimahullah, one of the greatest muhaddith, came into his room. And Sufyan al-Thawri, rahmatullah alayh, says, أَتَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُغْفَرَ لِي? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive someone like me? Like, he thought he was that bad. Like, You think someone like me is going to go to Jannah? So Hamad, who's a great muhaddith, he says, لو خيرت بين محاسبة الله وبين محاسبة أبوية لاخترت محاسبة الله على محاسبة أبوية لأن الله أرحم من أبوية.
سبحان الله.
Right, Mufti Sahib?
Tell me again.
لو خيرت بين محاسبة الله وبين محاسبة أبوية. If I was given a choice on the day of judgment, Allah says to me, Hamad, do you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your account? Your parents are also there. They can also take your account. So if they decide you're forgiven, we'll give you Jannah. Or you want us to decide whether you should go to Jannah. Hamad bin Salama says, I will always choose Allah over my own parents that love me. Because I know my parents are not even a fraction of Allah's mercy.
SubhanAllah, man.
أَرْحَمُ مِنْ أَبَوَيَّ. Wallahi, when I read this, there's certain things when you don't read them twice. They're engraved into you. And I found that to be so amazing because we have to be accountable. We also have to be, I was going over that ayat earlier today where once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting, he saw the Sahaba laughing and sitting on the Kaaba. They were laughing. And then amongst them was Khabbab and Suhaib and Bilal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why are you guys laughing? Like, تَذْكِرُ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارِ. You should think about hellfire, the reckoning, akhirah. So he just kind of put them in their place. The Prophet ﷺ walked away. And then Jibreel ﷺ came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he ordered the Prophet ﷺ to go back to them. And he said, جَاءَنِي جِبْرِيلِ فَقَالَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ لَكَ. Allah is saying to you, Allah is telling me to tell you, Muhammad, لِمَا تُقَنِّطُ عِبَادِي مِنْ رَحْمَةِ. Then Allah revealed, نَبِّعْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Like, tell them, don't make my servants despair in the mercy of Allah. So good, we have Allah. We were happy Allah is going to take our account. But remember, Allah is not a fool. Allah is not, وَاللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. No person who's an oppressor, who's abusive to his wife, to his spouse, to his children, to his partners, taking someone's money, lying, cheating, should think they can walk away freely without being accounted for. So Allah is saying, listen, if you're wrong and you have wronged someone, don't think you're going to walk away. You're going to get cited. There's going to be a citation. So on both sides, there's hope, but there's also, there's a checks and balance. Sorry, Mufti Saab, I just wanted to throw
some... No, Bajan, that's unbelievable, amazing you said that, Bajan. See, the thing is, when this verse was revealed, like, we should think about it. One way of doing our accountability is how much effort of my life is dedicated for akhirah versus how much of it is dedicated for dunya. Like, if 99% is dedicated for dunya, then, I mean, we're not going to, if Allah has mercy on us, we will see something that will be pleasant to us in akhirah. We have to, like, I always give example of this, like, you don't have to change your daily routine to prepare for akhirah. It's like, when someone gets a job at GM, Chrysler, or a hospital, you have these 401k plans, retirement plans, Social Security. I remember my first job, I was working, and I'm sure the Americans will understand this, but people from England and stuff might not understand this. Like, so when I first got my first paycheck, Peggy, her name was Peggy, she was an HR person. She asked me, are you going to be on W-2 or 1099? And I was like 18 years old at that time, like, what's the difference? I had no idea. And she said, well, W-2, your taxes get taken out. So if you're going to get $2,000, you end up getting $1,500. You're not married, you're single, so a lot of taxes will be taken out, Social Security, Medicare benefits, and stuff like that. And 1099, you get 1099, you get your full check, and you have to pay for tax at the end of the year. So I said, give me my full check. Like, that's no doubt, and we'll get some guy who will figure the taxes part out later. We'll put thousands of miles or something, right? And she said, Abdul, I think you should do W-2 because the more deductions you have, the better it will be when you're 65 years old. When you're 65, it will really come in handy. Wallahi, when she told me that, I looked at her, I'm like, what? I'm 18 and she's thinking about 65. Like, it blew my mind. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that word, but it just like, it was like, I was like, why would I worry when I'm 65? No, and she's like,
you're not supposed to use the word blowing your mind.
I know. I apologize.
We it really stunned you.
It's... It stunned me. Okay, khalas, I'll use the word stun. And I'm like,
taser. It's a taser.
Okay, we'll use the word taser. So I'm like, come on, man. Like, 65? Like, are you serious? And she's like, that's what's wrong with you. What's wrong with kids nowadays? A new generation doesn't care about when they're 65 years old. What's going to happen? So think about it. When you get your paycheck and Medicare benefits and, you know, these tax, these the Social Security gets taken out, you get the bulk of your pay. And some of it gets taken out. Some. And that some of it that gets taken out comes handy when you become old, according to these people. When you're getting your salary, most of it you get now, you get to build your house, you get to pay for your car payments, but some of it is being saved over 10, 15, 20 years, and then you get that when you're retired. Imagine if we can just think about akhirah as we think about retirement.
Wow.
Allah doesn't want all of it now.
Wow.
He wants you, take more, khalas, that's the, wow. That's the whole idea of the verse of, you know, the, أَنَّ الْأَرْضِ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Look, man, Allah's not asking. No other employer or boss would treat us like the way Allah treats us. Like, yeah. You know, a person, you know, you get the reward just by the intention. Like, you pray Isha and you pray Fajr and you had intention to wake up at night, you get the reward of praying all night. A guy who comes to work at 9 o'clock and clocks and has intention to work, but he goes home and clocks back out at 5 o'clock, he doesn't get paid those 8 hours. It doesn't work like that. Allah gives us so much with so little.
Wow.
And the people of dunya make what you do, as much as what you do, they make it seem so little. Because they always make it seem like there's something bigger and better than you. So your work becomes so insignificant. Allah is saying over here, أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Spend some time thinking about your akhirah. Because you can have this world. Allah will give this to you. This world and dunya and the, you know, the happiness will be gifted. But Jan, the two things about yarithu, I thought about this. Allah does not say dunya.
I'm excited about this.
Allah does not say this world and the luxury of this world will be yu'tiha. Allah will give. But Allah uses the word yarith. Yarith, right? That Allah will, this will be inherited by the pious servants. Inheritance, there's two things. One, there's a waiting period. It may not happen right away. Just like the retirement thing, like it might not happen right away. You probably have to wait for a few. You probably have to keep putting money in that.
Second. What is the human? You know, خلق الإنسان من عجل. سأريكم آياتي فلا تستعجلوا. Allah says that earlier. Like this human is hasty. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, that's true. We want quick results, right? And so we want quick results. And here in Allah saying, you know, the first thing about mirath is there's a waiting period, like your father, mother, inshallah, keeps them alive forever, gives them a long life. But until that person doesn't leave this world, you're not going to get what they have. So there's a waiting period. And the second thing, which is even more profound than that, is there's little effort on your part to receive that. Like you didn't, your father, your forefathers made all that effort. And they had to do all the work, and you, just because of your relationship, with your father, because of your relationship, the closer you are in relationship, the more you receive. Wow. Allah is saying, the closer you are to Allah, the more you receive.
Mufti Sab, deep.
Not the closer you are to your boss, or the closer you are to your worldly things, the more you work. No, the closer you are to Allah. But Abuji said something so interesting. Abuji said,
"So are you wearing an oxygen suit, man? Because you're going deep into the ocean with this. This is pearls, mashallah."
No, but everything. I just remembering things from Abuji. Nothing. Abuji said something very interesting. Abuji said that Sahaba, they left Makkah. You know, they left the peaceful city of Makkah, water, the Kaaba, everything, left that. Allah gave them, within 10 years, Allah gave them Madinatul Munawwara, the entire Arabian Peninsula, and Makkah back.
Wow.
Just within 9-10 years. Boom, right? They left Makkah, they felt, Bilal was crying. Everyone became sick when they left Makkah. But you know, you're Sirah master. You leave Makkah and you
come. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looks at the Kaaba and says, "Lawla anna qawmaka akhrajuni ma kharajtu mink." He looks back at the Kaaba. He said, if it wasn't for your people asking me to leave, I would never leave you, O Kaaba. Go ahead, Mufti Saab.
Exactly, Bajan. And so like they it's so hard for them, Bajan. And then they leave Makkah and they go to Medina. But we have to take 5 minutes extra because I want to make you talk about one thing. You probably don't even know what I want you to talk about because it comes to Surah Hajj.
Don't put me on the spot like that because I'm getting a little nerve-wracking.
So they leave Makkah.
I don't want to have a panic attack.
No, don't worry, it's me. They leave Makkah, they go to Medina. Allah within 10 years gives them Medina. Allah gives them the Arabian Peninsula and Allah gives them Makkah again. Back to you. Someday you're going to leave something for the sake of Allah, become righteous. Allah will give it to you.
Today, right back to in the beginning, you have to give little and you get back more.
You get back more. You know, khalas, like you got to take it back. The small paycheck out of your check is coming out right now, but you will get it. Prepare for akhirah. Allah's not asking you for everything. At least have that in your mind. And there should be an account
for akhirah. It's like the time on Jummah that you give, the Fajr morning that you give, the Isha that you give, the charity that you give, the donations that you help, the time that you support someone. It looks like you're giving your weekend away from your family and you're giving it to Allah, but Allah is giving you back many more weekends and many more years full of blessings. SubhanAllah.
It's like tanking, you know. Sometimes teams tank to get the first pick, you know, and sometimes it's worth it. Like, I'm not a big fan of tanking, but
that's such a, again, another deep sport analogy.
You know, sometimes you tank, you know, like in hockey, Pittsburgh's tank for a while, then you have the Sixers tanking, you know, we have all these teams.
One team that always tanks but still never gets the benefits, the Oilers. May God help them.
So you have that. Then you have the Sahaba leaving Medina. So now the demand of Deen was to leave Medina, leave your hometown, go, the world needs you. The cities all around the world need you. They need you to come there. What does Sahaba do? Got up and left. They went to Yemen, they went to Jordan, they went to Syria, they went all over the world. And as they left Medina, now Allah gave them the entire world as well. They didn't, you know, Iqbal, he says, Sarbakaf pirtite kya ham dolat ke liye? Like, they never put their heads on their palms for the worldly gains.
Say this whole poem, man. Don't say just one part.
No, I'm not going to say it. The famous one, Di adane kabhi Europe ke kaliisaon mein, kabhi Afrika ke tapte huwa saharaon mein, shan aankhon mein najashti thi jahandaron ki, kalma padte thi hum chhaon mein talwaron ki, thi na kuch teg zani hum apni hukumat ke liye, sarbaka phirte ke hum daulat ke liye, subhanallah.
I want a closer vision, better view just for the vahva for that, Mufti Saab. That was excellent.
Yeah, that basically, he's just saying, we went all
that over. That is one of my favorite Iqbal poems.
Definitely, top ones for sure, right?
Yeah.
So they say basically, like, they never, once they did that, they never went for the treasures of this world. They threw it. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas anhu is like crying in sajda as if he lost his child the day Persia was conquered. He's crying so much, and the people come to him and say, oh, Sa'ad, what's wrong? What happened? Why are you crying for? Today's a day of happiness. And he's crying because he's saying, you know, Allah's this dunya has been opened up to us. We didn't do it for this. I'm crying because I hope, Abu Hurairah is saying, I'm hoping that our good deeds are not being paid back for us in dunya. We never did it.
So I'm afraid that all the good that we've done, we're being compensated for this world. Abdul Rahman bin Auf, I forget dud patti. Got water, qad shiba bi asal. Just mix with some honey. That's it. It's not the roofza. You know that it was just some honey in the water and it was put in front of him and he started crying. And he said, why are you crying? He said, Kana Mus'ab bin Umair kana khayrun minni. Mus'ab bin Umair never had sweet water in his life like this. And he left before me. He said, looks like I'm afraid just in the sweet water that Allah is compensating us in this world. Of course, that wasn't the reality, but he was still always checking himself. You know that muhasaba, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, a multi-billionaire, but he was still checking himself.
That's the idea of like, but finally, Bajan, I'm going to transition into something that I want to ask you about, and the brothers and sisters can give us a few extra minutes today. It's interesting, Bajan. Could you check Surah Hajj? Is it Makki or Madani Surah?
Surah Hajj?
Yeah.
It has to be a Madani Surah, man. It's Hajj.
Check it.
It's Madani Surah.
Watch. Surah Baqarah?
Madani Surah.
It's interesting, huh? One, like a one you can say reflection I had, our observation. Sahaba leave Mecca. The entire time they were in Mecca, they never got the story of, you know, the of وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. They're in Mecca, but they're not hearing the story of the building of Mecca while they're in Mecca.
So they're in Mecca and they're not hearing the story of Mecca.
Yeah, but they go to Medina and they hear the story of building of the Kaaba.
Wow, where are you getting from that?
Check this out. So now
you're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. You took me into an alley. I want you to open the doors now.
So no, Surah Hajj, Allah is talking about Mecca again. So imagine, isn't that more salt on the wound? Like you just left Mecca and Allah is talking about how great the Kaaba is and how amazing, how Ibrahim and Ismail are building it. You know what it's about?
What is it about?
Allah is saying to the Sahaba, all my companions, all the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, this Kaaba wasn't built overnight. There was a sacrifice, blood and tears of Ibrahim, Ismail, and the family who put so much effort, and after all that effort, it got accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you are reaping the benefits of it. Now that you're in Medina, start building the masjid again over here. Start building the community over here again. And here's a story I'm telling you. And the same thing, the same Allah that accepted the Kaaba can accept the city of Medina, can accept your masjid, the Masjid al-Nabawi. And so basically, indirectly, he's telling them to now establish this masjid over here and build it and get it accepted by Allah. Did that not happen or not, Bajan?
Mufti Saab. Oh, Mufti Saab.
I don't know if I should cry or laugh, man.
Honestly, I'm about to cry. That's how happy I was to hear that analogy. The explanation of the two cities and the sacrifice and where it was mentioned in the Quran and the Madani Surah. Where did you read this, man? Because I didn't find this before.
So we'll leave that alone. You have that over there, Bajan, right? Yeah. So that basically is an indirect message to us. It doesn't matter where you are, which city you are in the world. You know, you make the effort. Wow. You put the breath. And then
you have the same ingredients. Sacrifice. Sincerity. Commitment.
Yep.
Brotherhood and sisterhood. Loyalty. You know, that community. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. And then when that community was established, and then someone was trying to establish something contrary to that, لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ.
Exactly. Allah is saying, don't go to the other community. Exactly.
Once Allah has accepted it, you can't go anywhere else.
Yeah, Allah accepts, it's always going to remain. Just keep making an effort for that. We talked about it yesterday. But Jen, I wanted to say something else, but we'll bring it up tomorrow.
That was very heavy, Mufti Saab. Honestly, like I said, you know, you're back in your spot. You're back in your gaddi nashin. You're back at your chair and you know, you're back in your zone. And honestly, that was an amazing ending. That was, I mean, from the start to the end, I honestly forgot about my chai. I was trying to drink it, but it was too much happening in one session.
But yeah, one person, I don't know which person said this in a comment, but like, I'm so lucky I have an older brother who compliments me. Yeah, absolutely. I am very blessed. He doesn't just do it on camera, but does it off camera all the time. So I appreciate it.
The compliment comes with the criticism, you know, the salt, yeah, and sugar and salt, and they come together.
I mean, he's the same brother who does the suno and all that stuff. So it all comes together. You can't be an older brother, you know, just, you know, criticize. You have to be an older brother who compliments. You know, what's interesting about that is Allah always congratulates and compliments people. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ in Surah Hajj. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. You know, give glad tidings to people. So we should compliment and give glad tidings to each other. And my brother does that a lot. I don't do it enough. Jazakallah khair.
I mean, it's a farad, man. MashaAllah. I mean, when you're saying stuff like this, I'm not really complimenting you. I'm complimenting the text. You know, the I'm complimenting Iqbal. I'm complimenting the hadith, the tafsir, the explanation. Of course, you know, when you're explaining it, it helps. Inna fil bayan la sihra. And there's magicka in the speech also. I wanted everybody to know that we have in my Flint Islamic Center. This is the link right here. I shared on the chat. We every day at 7:30, I do a live session with my community, And it's about Jibreel, the story, the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, around 25 to 30 stories that I've chosen to share. And the reason why I'm saying 25 to 30, because I'm hesitant to take responsibility every night. But alhamdulillah, we've been consistent almost every night talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam with Jibreel alayhi salam. It's on this chat, on this channel. So please make sure you join. And hopefully you guys will benefit and share with your family. Join the channel, subscribe to the Flint Islamic Center channel. In the meantime, while you guys are still here, I hope my children don't storm down. I want you all to, in the month of Ramadan, to be a Miftah sustainer. People are signing up, so please join a Miftah. It's our goal is to get $10,000 a month so we can cover the cost. If people want to give $500 today, I called someone. I told them I need to give $500. I didn't even ask him. I told him. He said, "Khalas, you know." And if you're there, if you're capable of supporting the cause, we have such a big campus, so much operation. Inshallah, we're going to do so many more things. These live programs is just a bonus. It's like that, you know, 401k plan that we had on the side. But that's not our real, this is not our bread and butter. Our bread and butter is on campus, on site with our students. But we're so glad to be with you online so we can reach you from wherever you are, where we can reach your homes and all these countries who are watching. We're so blessed. So brothers and sisters, keep us in your du'as. I want to thank Mufti Abdul Rahman for constantly tantalizing us, enriching us, reviving our spirits, our souls. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Mufti Abdul Rahman, are you feeling awkward at the moment?
I guess one of our viewers caught it.
So don't be awkward, man. Don't feel awkward. You know, the politicians don't feel awkward when they ask for politics.
I'm messing with you, man.
Yeah, take care, guys. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Take care. Good night, guys. Assalamu alaikum.